Buddy, Pastor Buddy, joining you live right now on WWRB 3.185 around the world on the Clear Channel, transmitting Jewel of the South. We welcoming you in tonight to the Shepherd's Call. We got part three of the hidden reasons that we keep the second Passover, and hope that you will share tonight and call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy is on the air. We'd be glad to take them under wing and teach them what thus saith Yahweh. You know, a lot of people in the modern era, it's sort of a dirty business keeping Passover. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I've been to a lot of Passovers, and man, it's real nice, and we got the comfort of the air-conditioned auditoriums, and we got the silver vessels, and we got the great juice in the cracker, and it's no problem. Well, that's not Passover. That's the tradition of a way that seemed right. Luke 2:42, listen to me as I begin the message tonight, part three, final, of the apostolic fathers who kept the Passover tradition, the Bible way. And I explained to you the Bible way in part one, and in part two, the reason why we keep the second one, and the reason why he kept it, the reason why he died in the second Passover as opposed to the first Passover. And tonight, we're going to explore the reasons why that they carried on the traditions that they were taught. Listen to what he was doing in Luke 2:42. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the Messiah stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Now, it was several days before they missed him. And you see, even after the feast had ended, the Messiah was busy teaching in the temple. And so this is a custom. They went up when he was 12 years old. Well, we assume that if that was a custom at 12, that it was their custom when he was one. Remember, he was taken in when he was 8 days old, according to the custom. And he was circumcised, being 8 days old, or the first, actually it was the first Sabbath, after his birth, that he was, circumcised on the eighth day. Now, by establishing a tradition of the elders, the Bible says to follow the tradition of the elders. Let's go in here and reckon what the logic of the people that claim that, well, we don't do that no more. In the New Testament, Paul brought in a new table. He brought in the bread and the wine, or the grape juice in most cases. And that's what we do now, as according to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Well, do you see why that Paul chastised the people for what they were doing? They were literally eating and feasting and banqueting in traditions other than what had been established by the elders preceding him. And Paul was taking them to task. And when you come together, this is not to eat Yahweh's feast. They were doing it haphazardly, not according to the word. And here we are in the last days when they say, well, we don't do it. We don't kill the lamb anymore, Pastor Buddy. We don't keep it like they did in the Old Testament. They like to call it the Old Testament, under the law of Moses. Well, we're going to prove tonight, by the scriptures of the New Testament scriptures, that they carried on this tradition of Luke 2:42, where they kept the Passovers and the festivals. They were commanded to keep three, and he actually kept four. They actually kept the Feast of Dedication, which was in the December month. And so therefore they went through the four cycle seasons, which would be the spring equinox for Passover, and the summer solstice, which would be for Pentecost, and then in the fall it would be tabernacles for the fall equinox, and then the winter solstice around December the 21st. There was a feast of dedication, and those four feasts, now three commanded to keep, four was an added feast of the Jews. But we know that the Messiah attended that one also. So he was a feast attender. Notice what he says here in Luke 13:29, when people tell you that the feast is done away with and you don't have to kill the Passover anymore and you don't keep those and we're not going to keep any more feasts. Listen to what the Messiah said. People will come from the east and the west and the north and the south. That's all points on the compass. And they will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Well, we're going to have feast in the kingdom of God. Well, we know when these feasts are going to be. They're still sanctioned and organized in the time periods that Yahweh had chosen in the lunar calendar. We know that by going back to Isaiah chapter 66 and reading in verse 22, 23, and 24, we know that from one new moon and from one Sabbath to another. Now, let me show you something interesting in keeping the Sabbath. If you really want to know about the Sabbath, did you know that if you simply follow the instructions in Leviticus chapter 23, where I started out in the first hour presentation of the Passover, then if you'll just keep the instructions, now all you have to do is go by the instructions, you can't fail. See, do it according to the word, he says. And if they do it not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. So we've got people that have come in and changed Yahweh's customs and laws and brought about their own for convenience. They want to go to a church where they don't have to get bloody with an animal. They don't want to mess up their Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. They want to keep their Easter bonnets. Ladies and gentlemen, Easter is a pagan ritual of the whore church of Revelation chapter 17. And need I say more? But if you'll simply follow the instructions of Leviticus chapter 23, the weekly Sabbaths will automatically fall on the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th of the moon each and every year. Now, let me repeat that. If you'll simply follow the instructions of Leviticus chapter 23, not a hard thing to do. But to follow that, we'd have to break traditions of the church you go to if they don't do that. You see what I mean? In other words, if they got a Gregorian calendar, it's going to be on Saturday and Sunday, whenever they determine Easter to be. And that factor, if you've ever looked in the Gregorian calendar, how they determine Easter, they call it Easter. They've done away with Passover. You know why they've done it away with Passover? Because they want to adopt the customs of Ishtar and bake cakes to the Queen of Heaven, as it's recorded in the book of Ezekiel chapter 8. You know, it's plain of why that they would want to do that. We're instructed as to which holy days are holy convocations or appointments in that. You'll see that sometimes the truth is hidden in simplicity, and sometimes it becomes stranger than fiction. When I teach this and put it on a board, a whiteboard, or a teaching aid that we teach with, and you explain these things, people say, well, our church don't do it like that, Pastor Buddy. And yet this is the divine custom, and all I'm asking the reader to do is follow the instructions given in Leviticus chapter 23. Do not add or diminish to the word, and you will come to this verse, verse 2 of Leviticus 23. Speak to the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the appointments of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy assemblies. Even these are my appointments. You shall work 6 days. Shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, or an intermission of rest, a holy assembly. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath intermission of Yahweh in all your dwellings. Now that's quite simple, isn't it? All right? Well, let's go back to Isaiah 66, verse 23. In the new moons. Start on the new moon. Make that a holy day. Once you find the new moon and you blow the trumpet, these are all in the metaphoric reasoning of the mind of the Creator. And if you want to be like Him, adopt His convocations and appointments. Keep them and therefore be found as you go towards the coming kingdom of God. You want to be able to then keep the appointments correctly as you eat and drink it new with them in the kingdom. You're going to keep a feast then. You say, well, but it's going to be crackers and grape juice festival, just like we do it here at our church. No, it's going to be according to the word, according to the scriptures, not according to tradition of churches that have become loose coal or sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Now, the scripture in verse 2 clearly tells us that the appointment of Yahweh is the seventh day, which comes after 6 working days. All right, now let's go back. This is mathematically proven. Verse 1, and that would be the new moon. All right, we work 6 days after the new moon of the beginning of the month, and then we come to the seventh day, which is the Sabbath. Now we work 6 more days, and we come to what we call the 14th day of the month. That's mid-month. Well, we know that the Messiah, on his appointments, that he was crucified, actually, on the 14th day. That's what we've proven. That at 3 o'clock, now he had his trial at 9 o'clock, he was impaled at 12, died at 3, and they took him down before sundown, and we know that the Sabbath was drawing out. Now, what Sabbath was that? Well, it had to be the 15th day. Well, 1:8, 15, 22, and 29 is your appointments. And the festivals, without contradiction, without interruption, fit right into Yahweh's holy commandments. Luke 13:29, people will come from the east and the west, and they'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our forefathers. We're going to have a homecoming jubilee. We're going to have a time of glory. We're going to have a time of praise. We're going to have a time of feasting according to the Bible. You say, well, there won't be no lamb's kill, glory to God. Oh, really? Well, let's find out if the apostles were killing lambs in Luke 22:1. Now the feast of unleavened bread called the Passover. That's Luke 22:1. Keep that in mind. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miracles and the signs he was doing and believed in his name. Now they saw the miracles and the signs, and that provoked them, or gave them faith, to believe in his name. Now, why is the name important here? All of the symbology and all of the metaphors of the teaching of the appointments, Passover, the Pentecost, and Tabernacles, and the Feast of Dedication, all these are pointing to his name. His name is above all names. Nowhere in the scriptures original can you read Jesus. I'm going to repeat that for the sake of those that use this name as opposed to searching out the true name and reestablishing the truth and uncovering how that they, the translators, have taken out the holy name that the Bible said that many at the Passover agreed and believed on his name after they saw the miracles. Now, let's go to, while he was at Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miracles and they believed on his name. You can get salvation, revelation, and redemption through keeping the correct Passover. Yahweh said, take this lamb, and it had to be a year old, the firstborn, had to be a male, and it had to be kept up with the family that was going to bring this lamb for the Passover. Now, this was a communal meal, a family meal shared among those of the house of Israel. They didn't eat it with strangers. So this meal is closed to those who would profess that God loves everyone and that everyone is welcome at the festival or the feast. And it's not true. This is for only the house of Israel, Jacob's family, Abraham's family, and it's going to be only for Abraham's family, Isaac's family, and Jacob's family, according to Luke 13:29. It's going to be for them that come, and they will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, and they will keep the feast. And as I indicated to you, you'll find the covenant principles of Isaiah 66:22-24. That's the way it is, ladies and gentlemen. There's no exceptions to, and you say, well, oh, that's so hard, and, you know, our church, we just can't believe that because, you know, God loves everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, if I was to read you the people that God hated and the people that God killed as opposed to the ones he loved, it would be about a 50-50 thing between those he loves and the ones he hates. Did you know that there's a race of people in the earth that he literally hates? Did you know he hates every false way? You ever heard that taught in your assembly? The book of Psalms says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Yahweh does not condone false ways. He's not party to it. There's nothing in Yahweh that's false. He's all truth. And the devil is all false. And here's the difference. Satan will take a little bit of the truth, or sometimes a lot of the truth, a way that seems right, and then apply the falsehood to it, his false teaching, to where it seems right, and it's appealing, like the crackers and grape juice is satisfying, and we're keeping Passover. Most people that go to church they believe that they're keeping the Passover when they go in once a year, lift up the silver pans, and take a thimble full of grape juice and eat a cracker, and go home and eat swine's flesh. They think they've done Easter. Basically, that's the tradition of Easter. I'm going to repeat that. Crackers and grape juice and swine's flesh of bacon, the hams of bacon in the ovens, every Easter. Now, where does the word Easter come from? Well, again, I would like to read you in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts as we begin the search for the customs and the traditions followed by the apostolic fathers as they were taught by the Messiah, as was his custom. No changes. Even after the Messiah rose and went into heaven, here the apostolic fathers were still keeping Yahweh's Passover, Yahweh's Pentecost, and Yahweh's tabernacles long after he went into the heavens. Notice this. Now, there was at that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. No play games here, ladies and gentlemen. This is not glamorous. Here is believers that are getting beheaded for their belief system. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews. Now, when James was killed, the Jews rejoiced. Does that sound like a God's chosen people to you? And because that he seen it pleased the Jews, he proceeded forth to take Peter also. And he put Peter in jail. He apprehended him, put him in jail, put him in prison, and delivered him to four squadron of soldiers, and would have had him to be killed, intending, after Easter, to bring him forth to the people. After Easter. Now, that word Easter is a word that should not be in there. If you'll see it, you'll see that it's in italics, and it shouldn't be in there. And it's from the root word 3957. Now, if you look that word up, it's different from Easter. Easter is the reason why they put that in there is to keep in line with the whore church teaching of Ishtar, the Queen of Heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, the apostolic fathers, neither the Messiah ever acknowledged Ishtar, the Queen of Heaven. Let's go back to verse 3, kindly, if you will. Because he saw that it pleased the Jews by killing James, he proceeded forth to take Peter also, but then were the days of unleavened bread. Proving to you, in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, that they were still observing the days of unleavened bread. You say, well, I thought they went away. Luke 22:1 says that the days of unleavened bread was called Passover. And so then, by knowing that Passover was still being observed after the Messiah died and went into the heavens, here, the apostolic fathers are actually dying for obedience of still keeping. They knew that they would keep the feast. And they knew when to apprehend them. And Peter was there in Jerusalem, and it pleased the people, that the Jews, when James was beheaded, and so he said, well, I'll just get Peter also, and boy, I'll get the prize here. Peter was considered to be the chief spokesman for the apostolic fathers. He was the one that was anointed with the keys. And so the devil intended to kill him. Now, we're going to go from there over to the 18th chapter of the book of Acts. And Paul, this is 18:18. And Paul, after this, tarried yet there a good while. Now, he was tarrying with his brothers who were scattered abroad, the Israelites. And while then, he took his leave of the brethren and sailed into Syria. And with them went Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Caesarea, for he had a vow. Now, that vow was a custom to shave the head. So these customs are still being carried on by the apostolic fathers. Notice this. And when he came to Ephraim and left them there, he left Priscilla and Aquila there, then he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he told them he could not. He consented not. But notice this, verse 21. Here's what I want you to see. But he bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh at Jerusalem. But after the feast, I will come again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephraim to Jerusalem, and he kept the feast there with the apostolic fathers. Now, doesn't sound like to me that the feast of Yahweh have ended. It just sounds like to me that they were still getting it on, praise Yahweh. And for this reason, we preach and contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now, we're going over to the 20th chapter of the book of Acts to continue Paul's journey. And after that, the uproar, everywhere he preached now, he is preaching against the craftsmen of Ephraim, and it caused a riot. Pastor Buddy can go in these churches and preach this truth, and it causes a riot. Now, if I was one of theirs and preached their tradition, and I went along with crackers and grape juice at Passover, instead of preaching the custom of the Messiah and all the elders and all the patriarchs of the past and the tradition of the apostolic fathers, because I preach that, it brings the contrary. It sets one against the other. But after the uproar had ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed to go to Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, the city or the country of Greece. Athens is where he's bound to go to. And he preached his famous message in the 17th chapter on Mars Hill. Notice, as he goes, and there abode, he there abode 3 months. And when the Jews had laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he proposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Asteraceus and Secundus and Gainus and Derbe and Timothy of Asia. Tarsius and Eutropathius. And these going before tarried for us at Torath. Notice verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippia after the days of unleavened bread. Paul and his party here is journeying to Macedonia, and he gets as far as in Philippia, and there he tarried to keep the feast of unleavened bread, which again, according to Luke 22:1, is the Passover. Now, why would he do that? Why was it necessary to keep the days of unleavened bread? That's not like the Christians do. They go to church and eat a cracker, a cake baked from Ishtar, call it Easter. Well, these Easter bunnies will come out now. The little chocolate bunny, the bunny rabbits, the sex goddess Ishtar. They call it Ishtar. They wear their best. They'll put a ham in the oven and bake it. Go to church and eat the wafer of the Queen of Heaven. Wipe their mouth of grape juice. Or put the polished silver vessels away for another year and say, I take your Passover. Did you know that you are supposed to abide by the gospel of Leviticus chapter 23? And you are to abide by the gospel of Exodus chapter 12, and there's no such custom there. There it's put up a lamb. On the 10th day, and there keep it up 4 days and kill it at the going down of the sun on the 14th day, which I told you is exactly just like the scriptures teach. Now, some change has gone on here, and here's the reason. Oh, we don't kill the lamb no more because, you see, Jesus is the lamb, and we don't kill it no more because he was the lamb. Ladies and gentlemen, when he came, he had a lamb killed for him. He participated in it. All of the years of his life, he participated in 32 festivals of Passover and became the 33rd victim of the scriptures, according to the word of Yahweh. And so then, we find that Yahweh, in Mark 14 and 12, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, the disciples asked the Messiah, where do you want us to go to make preparations to eat the Passover? Now, again, we're going back to John chapter 13. I want to read that one more time to show you that he was not eating the Passover. And all you got to do is read the Bible. Now, this is John 13. And supper being ended, verse 2, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, he rose from supper. Everybody says, well, he was eating the Lord's Supper. He was not eating the Lord's Supper. He was eating the last commemorative meal on the 13th, the night of the 13th, when they searched the houses for leaven and removed us. This was preparation. This was the time to wash their feet and to prepare to get ready in sanctification for the feast of a Passover and the festival of unleavened bread, which was for 7 days. Now, to prove to you that it wasn't the Passover, it's very simple. Let's go to verse 1 of John 13. Now, before the Feast of the Passover. Now, before the Feast of the Passover. So it wasn't the Passover meal. It was the feast of preparation 2 days before the Passover. Because, you see, he was killed. Now, remember that night. They're showing you that they're beginning the 14th day. That night. He was arrested as betrayed by Judas Iscariot, the Canaanite. And they led him away, interrogated him all night long, beat him with a cat of nine tails, 39 stripes. They put a crown, dressed him as a king, mocked him, hung his men, and then delivered him to Pilate. Pilate washed his hands and said, I find no wrong. Sent him back to Herod, and the Jews clamored to kill him before the feast of the Passover. He was arrested. Now, he couldn't have eaten the Passover and kept the law. He was the Passover. He died as a lamb would die right on the very day. This is why it's so important, folks. This is why this is the most important festival of the year. The teaching allegories are in line, and the metaphors are tremendous. And that's why he said, here, do it like this. Kill the lamb before all of the congregation and the children. Because the children will say, when you do that, why are you doing that? And then you will tell them the customs of the ancient patriarchs and the night that they were delivered, that he saved the firstborn of Israel and killed all of the firstborn of Egypt, which symbolizes sin. And because he died, symbolizing sin, died as a sin offering for us, he died on the very day, the 14th day at 3 o'clock. Now, at 3 o'clock, if you go to the sacred circle, which we teach as another teaching aid, the altar of Yahweh, it's like the face of a clock. At 12 o'clock, we have a tribe that is positioned at 12 o'clock. That is the tribe of Dan. At 6 o'clock, we have the tribe of Reuben. At 9 o'clock, we have the tribe of Judah. And at 3 o'clock, we have the tribe of Ephraim, Joseph, the symbol of the man bearing the pitcher of water. And that's what Christ told him in Luke 22:10. We covered that in part 2. So, ladies and gentlemen, just because that you've grown up with the tradition of eating a cracker and drinking grape juice and saying that you've kept the Passover, some even wash feet during that time. And they call it the Passover meal. It wasn't the Passover meal for Yahweh and his disciples. It was an opportunity for the devil to be exposed. You see, the devil ate the bread, the sop, and he drank from the cup, but he never had his feet washed. You see, the devil left that and went out that night. Immediately, the Bible said, after he took the cup and ate the bread, he went out, and the Bible said that it was night. And then only did Yahweh wash 11 sets of feet. Well, it just so happens that the 11th tribe is Joseph. Here is a descendant of Joseph washing the 11 sets of feet to symbolize his authority as a son of Joseph, right on the 11th key. And the two sets of feet is 22. There just happens to be 22 words or signs in pictorial paleo of the Hebrew language. 22 letters. Two and two makes four, which is the rest of the code of Leviticus chapter 23 and Exodus chapter 12. Here is the teaching metaphors that Yahweh has brought into being as he has taught us that the keeping of the feast is for the fellowship of Yahweh and to worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, he's looking for people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. In John 13:29, since Judas had charge of the money, some thought he was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast, proving to you again that the feast hadn't come, but that he was telling Judas to get the money out of the feast fund and to go buy provisions for the feast. Ladies and gentlemen, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the tradition of the elders is to keep the feast, but not like this. Jude 1 and 12. There will be men that are nothing but blemishes, excuse me, at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed themselves, in other words, doing it their way. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. They're autumn fall trees without fruit, uprooted, and twice dead. Now, can I make it any more plainer? Of those who fail to do it the biblical way, as opposed to doing it the way of the blemishes of these that come and say that they are participating in the love feast. They organize these well-orchestrated traditions to Ishtar on Easter as they uncap, this looks very religious now, as they pass the holy cup and they take the little wafer which has the eye symbol in it, the cake that is baked to the Queen of Heaven. Oh, it's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, how ungodly that this world has become, professing themselves to be wise simply because, well, that's the way I've always done it, Pastor Buddy, glory to God. That's the way I've always done it, glory to God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. Notice this. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, verses 8 through 9, I would like for you to read that. And then I would like for you to read the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah is just as telling as is Ezekiel chapter 8. Both of these are very, very revealing. Let me read, for the sake of time here, let me read Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7. Yea, the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the shallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of Yahweh or the times. How do you say that we are wise and we know the law? Most certainly in vain have you made he it. the pen of the scribes is in vain. So then the tradition of the pen now of the churches, their scribes, they have taken it upon themselves to write another way, a new way. And the Bible says there be no new way. There's no new way, ladies and gentlemen, for that to happen if we stay with the correct rendering of the word of Yahweh. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. How can they preach if they don't know the word? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So then, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Follow the simplicity, straight as a way, and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. The seventh day is the holy convocation. The 14th day was a day of slaughter. It was a time when they kept the Passover. They killed the Passover. They prepared a meal. And they ate it. And everybody had to see the lamb slain. Even the children were commanded to observe it. You'll find that in Leviticus chapter 23 and Exodus chapter 12. Kill it in the presence of all the congregation. And yet today, we've got away from that by simply saying, well, we don't do that no more because the Messiah was the Lamb. Does that mean because the Messiah was a type of the Lamb, and he typed it out right on the very day he was killed, on the very day that they killed the natural lambs, that we should do away with the festival and bring in the teaching of Ishtar to Ishtar? I don't think so. Not me and my house. As for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh according to His word, according to His traditions, and according to the teachings that we have learned. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, that Yahweh wants a people that is obedient. He's looking for a people that has kept the faith, that are able to discern the times, and able to reach out and pronounce the times and the seasons. You say, well, Pastor Bunny, I really don't know when the Passover comes. I know I read it on the calendar, the Gregorian calendar, and they've got a set of rules. If the Jewish Passover happens on a certain time, then the following Sunday is Easter. That's contingent upon a certain factors that they build into the calendar. That's not biblical. That's traditional rule to change the times and laws, because at the 14th day of every month would be the day before the mid-month. 15th is always the midday. So then, the Sabbaths are 1, 8, 15, 22, and 29. That's the appointed times. The Feast of Passover is appointed on the 14th day, then the days of unleavened bread begin on the 15th day and go through the 21st day. Likewise with the Feast of Tabernacles. In the book of Numbers, chapter 29, verse 1, we find that we're to blow the trumpet at the first moon in the seventh month. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we know when the Hebrew seventh month comes, but the seventh month on the Gregorian calendar has got you out of sync. So if you're going by a Gregorian calendar to keep the festival of Yahweh, you're off. You're wrong. And that's what Daniel meant in 725 when they said they would think to change times and laws to get you out of the sequence. When he said, you shall proclaim these to be holy convocations. You shall proclaim these. In the 15th day of the seventh month shall there be a feast of tabernacles for 7 days, 7 through 21. Again, right in the numerical order of the covenant of the lunar applications. If you're not keeping a lunar calendar, you're not keeping Sabbath, no way. I don't care how much you worship Saturday or Sunday as your worship day, you're not on Yahweh's calendar. And if you're not on Yahweh's calendar, notice what? When he comes, if that day comes upon you unaware, that's what he meant when he declared the feast appointments for the whole year. The ones that comes after six working days. Always 1-8, 15, 22, and 29, no exceptions. The festival of Passover starts on the 14th. That day is to kill the lamb. The 15th begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is called the Passover. Luke 22, verse 1. And the apostles were keeping it even to that appointed time. Now, I've got to go. My time is come and gone. And I've enjoyed being with you tonight on part 3 of the reasons that we keep the second Passover. I want you to know that Yahweh loves you and that Yahweh is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it and they're safe. If you'd like to call me tonight, you can simply dial area code 423-626-2172. Now, this is March the 20th. We're live, and we greet you. If you'd like to write Pastor Buddy for this series, you can do so by simply addressing your cards or your letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 378-24. Now, if you'd like to call my sponsor tonight, Dr. Gary, for Miracle Tooth products or for the best toothpaste, Dr. Gary, I highly recommend it, and so do I, being a user of it for the many years that Dr. Gary introduced it to me. It is an amazing toothpaste, all natural, no fluoride. You can call Dr. Gary at 1-877-289-7439 for information and tell Doc that you hear Pastor Buddy on WWRB 3.185. That's Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Now, if you'd like to call my brother Paul in Michigan, 1-800-253-2748 for STEM Tech. Now that's for STEM Tech. And if you would like to do that, why, you just call Brother Paul and tell Brother Paul that you heard Pastor Buddy on the broadcast recommending STEM Tech. It's a great product. I use it myself and suggest that you might want to use it. Now, if you'd like to know about energy, to conserve energy, Conservation, you can call Brother Mike in the great state of Illinois at 1-815-648-4411. Tell Mike that you're your pastor buddy on WWRB 3.185 on the Shepherd's Call, advertising the electric invention that could change your life and give you a break monetarily on conserving your energy. So you need to talk to Mike at 1-815-648-4411. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I love you tonight very much. And as Brother Ed and old Shady Creek are telling us, it could be the last train out of Poor Valley. Yahweh loves you, and Yahweh is bidding you to come to Him. He's a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they're safe. Do you know Yahweh? If you don't know Yahweh, then you need to be introduced to Him. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's a sign that we've got to go to the mountain again tonight. And I've enjoyed being with you. I love you very much. And may the grace and the truth of Yahweh, may it overcome every obstacle in your life. Every time that the flesh man rises up in contention, wanting to keep the traditions that he's received, has been taught. And come to Yahweh and change your ways to His ways. For He said, as heaven is higher than earth, so are my ways higher than yours. Adopt Yahweh's way. Try it. And then in the kingdom to come, you will be invited to the great feast and the fellowship of joy unspeakable and full of glory, which is coming to all those that love Him and love His appearance. Did you know that when He comes back, He's going to find people eating and drinking? But they're not going to be eating and drinking according to His custom. They're going to be doing it according to the Queen of Heaven and the Ishtar and the Easter Fellowship. Coming up here in the Spring Festival next month, they will be killing the swine, baking the hams, denying the lamb. They don't want to kill the lamb, but they'll kill the swine. They'll bake the hams in the ovens, and they'll eat the cakes offered to Ishtar, the goddess of heaven, according to Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. Well, Yahweh bless you, and I'll see you next Monday night, live on WWRB 3.185, Clear Channel, on the transmitting Jewel of the South, exclusively presenting the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. I've enjoyed being with you. If you'd like to visit our website, it's under construction, but you're free to go. We'll invite you to go. We have several messages that you can listen to online. Just go to www.oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh.com. Click on it. That will take you to our website under construction. Just click on online messages. Or if you want to read the many articles that we got posted there, you can do that. But when we get the website finished, we think you're going to enjoy it. If you want to go up and preliminary, take a look at it and listen to a few of the messages. Some of these messages that I've preached tonight to you are online up there. You can listen to them. These messages that we are preaching in time to come will be posted for your benefit. Well, I got to get out of here. Yahweh bless you. Shalom.